grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. From the cross with the inscription, "This is the King of the Jews," hanging over his head, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And to the repentant criminal who asked that Jesus remember him when he come into his kingdom, our Lord said, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is our text. And just like that, it's another last Sunday of the church year, often called Christ the King Sunday. On the bulletin cover, there's an image of our Lord seated at the Last Judgment. Today is when we consider the four last things: death, judgment, heaven, and hell. Today, we especially long for our Lord's second coming, when he'll appear in glory on the clouds with angels and the sound of a trumpet. This is when we look toward the future. We wait with eager anticipation and expectation for what lies ahead, for the endless world to come. That's what this Sunday is all about, right? And then there's the gospel reading. What's with the gospel reading? Because it's out of place, it seems. It isn't about how Jesus will come again to judge the living and the dead, or the end of the world, or the final judgment. It takes us backward, not forward. We go back to Good Friday, to our Lord hanging on the cross, crucified. We approach the end through his death. We face the judgment first in his cross. Today, we see that Jesus, our crucified King, rules to the end of time by proclaiming forgiveness and promising paradise to repentant sinners. A crucified King. But that seems so strange, because the women who followed Jesus thought that a crucified King was a tragedy. Those women were mourning and lamenting for him. To them, it meant that an innocent man was being put to death for no good reason. Through their tears, all they could see was the end of their hopes and their dreams. Their king was being taken away. His kingdom, they thought, had been totally and utterly crushed. For them, a crucified king was a failure. They might as well be slaves in Egypt or exiles in Babylon. And yet Jesus tells them that that's not the case. He says that their mourning and sorrow is misdirected. It should be directed not towards his cross, but toward their own sins and sorrows. "Weep for yourselves and for your children," he says. A crucified king? To the rulers and the soldiers, Jesus' death on the cross is a farce. It's a comedy. Since Jesus is bound and headed for the cross, they see him and his kingdom as a total and utter joke. They scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen one of God." And so they think that Jesus has finally been exposed, finally been unmasked, finally been revealed. Oh, he played his part well, pretending to be the Christ, the chosen one, but clearly he isn't. You couldn't believe that he's the Savior when he hangs on the cross, could you? Could you? And the soldiers who were standing beneath, they played games for his garments, games, because they thought it was a joke. And they also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." But obviously, you're not, and you can't save anyone. A crucified king? Yes. To St. Luke, and to us who believe, a crucified king is not a tragedy, and it is not a comedy, But it's real and it's true. And it happened. This is history. This is an event that took place in time and space. And the inscription over Jesus' head speaks the truth. This is the King of the Jews. And we know that salvation is from the Jews. A true king is one who serves his people. A true king is one who puts their interests above his own. A true king sacrifices himself to save them. He even lays down his life for his subjects. And so what we see today with Jesus on the cross isn't the end of his kingdom. The cross doesn't expose his kingdom as a fraud, but on the cross we see that he reigns as king. On the cross we see a kingdom, his kingdom, that comes, a kingdom that has no end. But what kind of a kingdom comes from a cross? How can a crucified king rule? He can't rule by law, or by might, or by charisma. He has no earthly influence. He has no earthly power. He has no earthly beauty or charm left. All the things that an earthly ruler might use are taken from him. Even his arms and his legs are pinned to that cross, and the pain is excruciating, and blood and bruises cover his body. What does he have left with which to rule and to reign? What he has left and what he uses is his voice, his word. From the cross, even with his arms nailed and his legs pierced, even with his life bleeding out of him, he can speak, and he does. He speaks for his people, and he speaks to his people. The king can make a proclamation. And just as it was at the very beginning of his ministry, so it is here on the cross that his word possessed authority. So what does he say from the cross as the end draws near? We heard two of his last words, two of his final statements, two authoritative proclamations from our crucified king. Two words that are still in effect for all who believe. The first is a prayer. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And the second is a promise. Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. These two words spoken by Jesus on the cross continue until the end of time. And these two words have everything to do. They have absolutely everything to do with the last things, with death and judgment and heaven and hell. And these are fitting words for the last Sunday of the church year. Beautiful and gracious words from our crucified King, words to encourage us as we await his coming and patiently endure until the end. Forgive them. Yes, forgive those mourning women who think that it's a tragedy, and those scoffing rulers and mocking soldiers who think that it's a joke. They didn't really know what they were doing. But what about those who do know what they do? What about the two others, those criminals who really deserved to be crucified and who knew it? And what about us? Forgive them. He means every single sin. He doesn't qualify what he says. He doesn't exclude any sins. He doesn't put any strings attached to it or any fine print. He simply says, forgive them, all of them, and every single sin of theirs. And it's not a wish. It's not a hopeful thought. This is what the beloved Son boldly and confidently prays to his dear Father. And when our Lord prays, he's certain that what he asks pleases his Father, and he's certain that what he prays is heard by his Father. And he sends this prayer to his Father with his own blood shed for the forgiveness of sins. The sprinkled blood that speaks a better word. Forgive them, it says, and you are not condemned. The word of your crucified King, that he speaks to you today, and that he will speak to you on the last day too. And then there's that criminal, for whom it is his last day. In fact, it's his last hour. It's appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. So this is his judgment day. And he knows he's got it coming. He knows what a mess he made of his life and how he hurt and harmed others, not only in thought or in word, but certainly in deed. He deserves crucifixion. He deserves eternal punishment and torment. And yet he heard that bit about Jesus being the King, and he believes it. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember. Don't forget me, hanging here next to you on the cross and getting what I truly deserve. Have mercy on me, Jesus, my Lord and my King. And Jesus says so simply, so matter-of-factly, so sweetly, his royal declaration, today you will be with me in paradise, again signed with his own blood. And he suffered hell to make that word good. And these words are for you today, for you to trust now and for you to trust when your last hour comes and when you're facing the judgment day and when your sins flash before your eyes and you know you've got it coming, to open your ears and hear today, you with me in paradise. And if that's what the King says, then who's going to say otherwise? Amen. So from the cross, and still today, and until the end of time, our crucified King rules by proclaiming forgiveness and promising paradise. What a King we have, and what a kingdom he brings. But who are his subjects? They are repentant sinners. That's who. Those like the criminal, who know and confess their sin, those who know what they deserve because of their sin, those who trust him as their substitute. His subjects are not those who have led perfect and holy lives in themselves, but they are those who despair of their own merit and righteousness and worthiness. Those who believe what Jesus says about his body and blood, a confession that a number of our young ones will make today, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. The only preparation for the last things, what makes us ready to face death and judgment and heaven and hell, what prepares us for his return in glory, is repentance and faith in him. Amen. The trust created by his word. So, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today you come again renouncing your sin and confessing Jesus as your Lord, and it is good for you to do this. Let's not wait for the last day or the last hour or for the sound of the trumpet, but confess today that we are sinners and that our crucified King is our Savior. And today Jesus is here to reign among us right now, to reign over us this day, to be our King this very hour by the preaching of his cross. And when our Lord returns in glory, it's simply going to be a further unpacking and giving out of what he did on Good Friday. Because his death truly is the end of death, the end of sin's reign, the end of the fear of death, the end of the power of the devil, and his cross is God's judgment, the pouring out of God's wrath on Jesus, so that it will not be poured out on you. Indeed, what we see on Good Friday is the declaration that Jesus is the one guilty and condemned for your sin, and for his sake you are declared not guilty and are set free. And that's what we'll hear on the final judgment. The price of your sins has been paid in full. So there's no reason for you to act like your bill is still coming due or you're going to owe something in the end, because he paid all of it with his holy, precious, and infinite blood. He covered the sin of the world and yours as well. Our Lord didn't save himself on Good Friday because he desired your eternal salvation, that you be saved now and when he comes again in glory. And that's why your king was crucified. Today we see how his cross cuts through the last things, how it changes everything for us repentant sinners and for dying criminals. Death has lost its sting. Forgiveness is the final judgment. Wide open stand the gates of paradise, but the gates of hell have been torn down. Our crucified King will come again in glory. He is the one whose return we so eagerly await. He holds our future in his hands. This same Jesus who said when he was crucified, "Forgive them. Today you will be with me in paradise." And so on this last Sunday of the church year, we pray, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus, our crucified King." Amen.